It's the first training camp show, Bears All Access, on location here at Olivet Nazarene University. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Pleased to be joined by Jared Allen, who stole the show at the start of training camp with the best press conference we've seen around here, Tom, in a long, long time. I mean, he had all the material. How long did you spend, Jared, working on?
I wish I had an answer for it. I was just winging it that day.
So, come on.
You know, I figure if my approach is always just have fun and the rest will take care of itself.
I'll give you an example. There were a bunch of people who were, and you can understand why after last year it didn't go the way you wanted it to from an individual standpoint. And he was asked about whether or not his reputation as a pass rusher is on the line. And then Jared very calmly noted that he's number one, all-time sack leader. He's done things in 11 years that it took guys 15 years to do. I mean, you just rattled him off. And in his new position as an outside linebacker, made sure to point out 5 picks in his career. And he wasn't even supposed to do that kind of stuff as a defensive end.
No, the guy asked me if my reputation, if this year was personal because my reputation was hurt. I didn't know that was the.
You didn't know 1 year could do that.
Still average 12 a year. I thought that was pretty good. I'm excited about this year. I think the opportunities and, you know, the basis of that whole joking conversation was that, you know, I believe you go through things for a reason, you know, and, I don't think a few years ago I would have been as open-minded to switching to an outside linebacker position. But when you go through a year, you know, with dealing with injuries and illness and again, my numbers not being what I wanted, you know, sack-wise, my tackles are the highest I've had in the last couple of years. My sack numbers being down, I think you can either focus on the circumstances, which I did. I found myself doing at times last year, kind of like, you know, trying to recreate, you know, things that I was comfortable with in other places. And instead of just focusing on what was going on and just trying to get back into routine and get out of the crap that was going on around here last year. And, and just dealing with the present. And so, you know, again, I don't, you know, 1 year doesn't make a career, doesn't break a career, but I think it did humble me to the point to where I was more open-minded now coming in and seeing how a different position, the pros and cons of it, and really understanding there's a lot of upside to the position, and especially, being a little older, that it's really sparked my mind to really start, you know, studying football again. Because, you know, after 11 years of the same position, you kind of just go through your process. So, you know, with that, you know, that was the whole joke was that, you know, yeah, I believe the Lord took me through a purpose and a process to get me to where I'm at, and I really am excited about it because, I have been able to do some great things in this league, and I haven't won a Super Bowl though, and that's obviously what everybody wants to do. Everybody wants to win a Super Bowl. I came to the Bears because I honestly thought that we were a talented enough team to win a Super Bowl and to compete for a Super Bowl. And so that's the ultimate goal, and obviously you have personal goals along the way. You know, I want to get to 150 sacks. I really do. I think I'm like 7 behind being top 5 all time with Strahan. So, you know, that's what motivates you, and you kind of go through some stuff, and you realize, like, okay, I got all this stuff right at my fingertips. Like, don't focus on the circumstances of the situation. There's an opportunity presented, you know. I'm gonna look at it as a shining blessing and go and attack it with every ounce of ability that I know how to and try to be the best at what I do.
But like you said, it's about the present. And it amazes me because I watch you all the time at practice and you never stop talking. You're always talking football with somebody somehow, whether it's Pernell McPhee or Jeremiah Ratliff or one of the young guys. And now it's last year I used to watch you going over stunts as a 4-man defensive lineman. Now I see you go through the protocol of a linebacker in your head. It's amazing that your enthusiasm is just as high or higher than it's ever been, even though you're learning, not learning new things. Your instincts have to do different things.
Correct. And I think, well, that's one thing I really came into this year saying. I want to have fun. I want to get back to what, you know, why we play football. Football's a fun sport, and I'm usually at my best when I'm having fun. Sometimes when you go through, I mean, the 11 season, it's crap, you know, and it's never fun to lose. It's never fun, you know, being hurt. It's never fun. Everything we went through wasn't fun. And, especially going into my 12th camp, you never know when it's the end. You don't. And so, you know, I just said, you know, listen, I'm going to go out and I'm just going to enjoy every single moment. And in this process, you know, I'm not going to, if I'm going to focus on the positives, I'm going to look forward to it. I'm going to put every ounce of energy I have into being at the best at this position, and you know, let the, you know, chips lie where they may. And again, it's just a learning process. I mean, when I came into the league, it was, you know, Eric Hicks was, I was always talking with Eric Hicks, like, you know, forcing him to teach me. I was always talking with Willie Rowe, forcing him to teach me. John Browning and so on and so on and so on. And like, you know, Will Shields and stuff like that, forcing these guys to teach me and to understand the game, understand what their mindset is. And then as far as, you know, with Purnell and our D lineman and Jeremiah and stuff like that, it's that when I'm on the field, the more I know about your game, the better my game can be when we're on the field. Because you, and the more you know about my game, the better your game is going to be, because we're going to be able to play off each other. That was one of the greatest things, you know, about my relationship with Kevin Williams over the years, was I knew where he was going to be. I could look at him. He was like a quarterback and a receiver, right? I knew in certain sets, if they're in a max pro and stuff like that, we knew, hey, he knew that he was going to, you know, he was going to hit it. He's probably going to get the one-on-one. If they doubled me, I'd play off of him. I'd make him right, or he'd make me right. And those are the things you get the feel for, and you get that consistency. And you can't do it just by being out there. You have to understand what each person is doing and thinking.
You know, I'll bring back up an old name, Ted Hendricks, the Stork. And, you know, I was going, does Jared Allen have the look of to play that position? But you look like you belong at the position after watching it now for 4 or 5 days. And that's a strange thing about it. When I was growing up watching Ted Hendricks, I'm going, wow, this guy is built a lot different, but his instincts are superior, his understanding, the way he can read the quarterback. And I see you going through all the same things you did at your other position, but now you're taking a tight end who is unsuspecting of you going to jack him up like yesterday, or the other responsibilities you have. You're fitting the position.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, it's just, again, it's leaning on, you know, part of it too, I think, was, you know, after I talked with Vic and Coach Hurt and even Fox and Pace, and I asked him, I said, you know, how do you see me in this defense? You know, and, you know, for Vic, who's coached this defense, had a lot of success with a lot of successful players in it, to have confidence that he believed that I could do it, gave me confidence. And then again, then it becomes football, right? Then it's just processing information and understanding and learning. And from the first mini camp, you know, I mean, the first mini camp, the voluntary mini camp we had, vet mini camp, you know, I came out and I was trying to process things as a defensive, okay, this is kind of like when I did it this way or that way. And it made me, it felt awkward. And so I just said, you know what, forget it. It's a brand new position. Just learn the position as if when I in high school, I played a stand up, you know, little 5'2" type deal, right? When I got to college, I had to learn to put my hand on the ground. There's no translation. So that's the approach I took. Got my playbook, learn, understand concepts, and then you can just play football. And that's one thing I've always been good at. I've always kind of had a knack for football. Yeah, and now it allows me to do things.
We got to take our first time out here on Bears All Access. When we come back with Jared Allen, I'm going to ask him, because you heard him talk about meeting with John Fox, Ryan Pace, Vic Fangio, Clint Hurt. Before those meetings, did you think about retiring because you lost the fun after what happened last year? We'll discuss next with Jared Allen here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Tickets to Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest are on sale now. Come watch the Bears scrimmage August 8th at Soldier Field. Tickets and event information can be found at chicagobears.com/events. Alongside 85 Bears Tom
Thayer. There's
going
to be some live action in that family day at Soldier Field. I'm finding out.
Yeah, there's
some, you know, unless you're a red jersey guy.
That's a 40-play scrimmage we found out. Yeah.
Yeah, there are three different portions of live tackling. Jared Allen is our guest here, the Bears' new outside linebacker, longtime defensive end, and big-time NFL player over the years. And you're going to be a part of that. You got to be excited.
Yeah, I am. You know, it's always good. Oh, dang, you've been live out here.
I know. Hey, tell you what, it's a welcome sight for Bears fans to see.
It's a welcome sight for Bears players. I've been on some really, really good defenses in my day. And unfortunately, I was a part of the last place defense last year. Well, so I got it. You know, it's for anybody that was on that defense, it's a welcome sight. You know, I don't have a problem. And if things get a little chippy, hey, it's good for everybody.
Yeah, I heard Jay Ratliff talking about how, you know, you'd like to forget last year, but if you care about the game, man, you can't forget. You're using it as fuel.
Oh yeah, you know what? Again, when I first came into the league, Vermeil told me, I'll never forget this. I had a chance to fall back in and make a tackle in the B gap, and I didn't do it. I you know, because I had my gap, and I figured that, you know, linebacker or you know, three technique would come off and make the play. And he grabbed me and he said, "You know what?" I was like, "Why did you make that play?" I was like, "Well, I thought you'd make it. Just do my job." And he said, "If football is an individual sport. He said, the way you help us win is by being the best defensive end that you can possibly be. You make every single possible play that you can make. And I said, okay. So you have that mentality to where you can't forget that. So, like, that's on my resume. That defense last year is on my resume, and I want to wipe it off.
See, the reason that I bring that up is because you talked in our last segment about how last year wasn't fun in any facet of the game because you were dealing with injury, really, from training camp, the preseason when you hurt the shoulder, yeah. And then obviously the pneumonia, you lost a lot of weight. And the team wasn't doing very well on the field throughout all of this. When the season ended, the staff changes, you said you signed with the Bears because you thought this team could compete for a Super Bowl. Was there a part of you that started thinking, I don't know if this is going to happen here?
No, you know, I take every year and I evaluate it. And the way I evaluate it is, and I'm a harder critic on myself. I know they say a lot of times the player is the last one to realize that they don't have it anymore. I would argue I'm different than that because, you know, I try to evaluate myself. I want to leave this league with people saying, man, I think he could play a couple more versus we need this dude to get the hell out of here.
Right.
I just assessed everything and I saw who they brought in. And you know what really, really inspired me when they brought in the coaches they brought in? I mean, when you bring in a Vic Fangio, when you bring in John Fox, when you bring in, you know, Adam Gase, you're telling everybody in that organization, we want to win now. You know, there's no rebuilding's out of the question. We're not doing. We have an all-star, you know, cast of coaches, and as a player, that's all I want. All I want is someone that is going to provide a work environment where I can come and try to master my craft every day and have fun doing it, right? And that's what they provide. And then, you know, you talk to them, and then, you know, and I think that was another reason. It's like, if you're a fan of this game, you have to be a fan of a Vic Fangio defense. You just have to, whether you're a 4-3-3-4 guy or not. So then after talking to him and say, hey, where do you fit in? Heck, I was all in. Let's go. And, I've known Foxy's reputation over the years through, Pro Bowls and stuff like that. And we have some mutual friends.
Is Jake Glazer, yeah, by the way. He knows everybody.
Yeah. And so we just... through the process, honestly, it was inspiring because you're just like, all right, when the organization steps up and says, here we are going forward, and with that cast, you say, okay, you know, now I'm going to do my part. I'm going to own my part, and we're going to do my part, and you go forward. And never, you don't want to go out on the last place defense. You know what I mean? It would be one thing if I just got my butt kicked all year and I just didn't think I could have it. But, I knew going back and watching film and again, I go back and I look at, like, that Tampa Bay game. And it was just one of those years. I hit the quarterback 7 times, not one sack. I'm not used to that stuff. But you know what? I try to live by faith. And I truly believe that you go through stuff sometimes to prepare yourself for something great. And, like I said, this league will humble you. I got my slice of humble pie, and all it did was make me hungry. I always say there's two people in the world. Those who get punched and walk away, and those who fight back. And, this league punched me in the face last year, and I'm fighting back, and we'll come back and punch it right back.
You know, your whole career, you get to face the best offensive lineman every team has, and you're going to face him the whole game. You get a chance to set him up. You get a chance to watch him for 5 days, see what his weaknesses and his strengths are. Now in the course of a formation, you may have 3 different blockers in front of you. They could bring a tackle to a tight end, then bring an H-back by, and then ultimately block you with someone else moving. How do you like that filtering of... okay, I might have to watch a little bit more tape on this tight end because they bring him over a little bit more, or an H-back. How do you like that evaluation?
Well, from a tight end and H-back standpoint, I don't really believe that they're real people.
You know, so, Jared, I have a note written down from practice today, and it said, can a tight end honestly block Jared? And I don't think they can.
It's a different league of tight ends now. You know, Marty is the exception at like 280. You know what I mean? There's no one out there. There's not the Jimmy Klein saucers of this league anymore. There's the right, Jason Dunns and stuff like that. And you know, they're not there. And, you know, Bob Carmelo was the first thing he told me when I was a rookie. He said, tight end are half people. He said, if you ever get blocked by a half a person, you're not allowed to be in this room. So, you know, yeah, I don't. If a team's a big max pro team, it's not so much I watch how the tight end block, but, you know, I think now it's more so watching, you know, a lot of time I watch the film of my guy, right? And then you watch some game film to just get an idea how the game's going to flow, how a team flows. Now it's you know, being on the stand up and understanding coverage stuff and protection stuff even more, important. It is kind of good to know if it am I going to have, because now I'm counted. It depends on how they count. Do they count you as a big? Do they count you as an up guy? Right. So it's like, is the back going to scan? So I think that's the bigger thing of just kind of understanding. But it also creates matchups. You know, if I got a 4-eye over the tackle, who's he going to take? You know, and right. And you, if you're going to send a running back or a tight end back, or maybe now you're going to have to leave a tight end 1-on-1 with me versus if in a 4-3 where he can chip out and release. So that's the kind of stuff I think you need to know more, just like the conceptual of the protection of how they want to use certain people. But at the end of the day, it's time to rush the passer, it's time to rush the passer. Whoever's right. in front of you, you got to whoop them and go. And then when you're covering, that's the big thing. It's just is understanding where you need to be, when you need to be. And this defense is cool because – If you're just in an area, you're probably wrong. You usually have somebody, and you better find them.
Do you find yourself? I know this sounds crazy, but do you find yourself still thinking out there a little bit when you're diagnosing?
Yeah, I mean, it happened to me today. So we were doing something today, and they had a bunch formation, and I was late. You know, I'm processing it from trying to figure out who was one, who I was supposed to drop off of, versus understanding the concept of what I was getting in front of me with the bunch, where, you know, it's like majority of the time someone's going to be in the flat, right? And so I was late on it, and I ended up getting picked by one of the wide receivers. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you can now go back and talk to Vic. And that's the one cool thing about, you know, Vic, he is a very, very good football mind. And the way he explains things, he explains it through conceptuals and, you know, concepts and he breaks it down. It's like, well, that's actually really easy, you know? So, right. and you learn and you process and each thing. And then, you know, you show the film on it, you show it being successful and how you can do it. And so went back, talked to him, got the same formation again later in that period. No problem. Right. Because it's just anticipation. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to anticipate this guy being here. And then you react another way. So that's the kind of stuff that I'm going to continue to work on and practice on and watch film. But when it comes down to rushing the passer and just playing football, once you know it's run, once you know it's fact, block recognition, it's all the same. Then it's just react, find ball, get ball.
We've got to take another break here. Tom, did you, in one of the breaks off air, say that Jared Allen's probably the most important piece of the Bears' defense?
Yeah, but I don't know if I can explain it beyond off air. Maybe later in the season we'll talk about it.
All right, so that's a little nugget for the future. When we come back, though, you got to hear, Jared Allen's been around the NFL so long. He's in a dorm right now, and he's stayed in some interesting places during his training camp lives as an NFL player. We'll discuss next with the Bears outside linebacker. Jared Allen's here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zibman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/InsideTheBears. 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin. We're joined by Bears outside linebacker Jared Allen here in our fancy new RV here, provided by Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score here for Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. This is familiar to you, an RV. You are actually staying in the dorms here on the campus of Olivet Nazarene University. But, you know, in your time with the Vikings, you actually stayed in an RV at training camp?
Yeah, I brought my RV to training camp one year. And Brad wouldn't let me just stay in it. I had to stay in the dorms. But I spent all my downtime in my RV. I had my Nintendo set up. I had a big four-slide Winnebago tour, like 40-footer. And had the TV outside with the lawn chair set up. You know, fridge was fully stocked with whatever the heck was in it. And half the time I'd come in for practice and the coaches would already be over there. We'd come back from meetings or something like that, and everybody was in my RV besides me playing video games.
See, I didn't know you were a gamer. This
I'm
is
not,
new.
I'm not Nintendo.
Oh,
I still have original Nintendo. And I had a karaoke machine set up in there, so like, nice. You know, you could sing karaoke outside if you want, all that good stuff. And Brad's then Hutch. Hutch had an RV too, and he's like, "Now I'm bringing my RV down." So we were trying to talk Brad into the following year. Unfortunately, you know, Brad got fired, but we were trying to talk Brad into running, you know, 50-amp, you know, cords out so we could all plug our RVs up and have a row of RVs. And he's just like, "Goodness gracious, guys,
missing practice." You know, all the changes in that. How about the? What was it like when the eating part of it when you first got to professional football?
Oh,
was it as well constructed as it is now?
No.
Attention to detail, the hydration and all that?
I was just telling these kids the other day, and you obviously know even better than I do. So I had a short – we had about a 4 or 5 year span of true OTAs, but I'm true two-a-days. But, you know, our college, you know, back in the day when college still could have 2 days were rough too. But I, you know, I had Vermeil my first 2 years, which was like training camp on steroids, right? Like 1950s training camp. And so I was telling these guys, I'm like, you guys were like, we have breaks now. We take a snack break during meeting. I'm like, you guys didn't realize how I was,
wait, you take a snack break during meetings?
Yeah, we get a little 10-minute break, go down and get a snack, you know, mentally charge us up. Yeah, I guess. Wow. Heck, I don't know. I'm gonna end up getting fat in camp. What I'm gonna do? I keep eating all this food. And yeah, I was telling young guy, I'm like, if this is a trip for guys that come in and this is their first tramp, you may be like, this is, you're done with meetings by like 8:30, 8:45. You know,
it wasn't even that way last year. Last year,
10:30 last year, man, it was ridiculous. But this, it really is cool. But yeah, there's food everywhere. There's science everywhere of trying to get people's bodies. The investment into the players, in my opinion, is at an all-time high. And you know, for me, it's a little foreign because sometimes I'm like, everybody's different. Right? You stick with what works, but it's pretty cool to see. Like, we even have a scale that tells you, you know, how much body weight you lost and how much fluid you need to replace, how dehydrated you are. I don't, you know.
110% body fat, like Homer Simpson.
Yeah, you know, the days of North Dallas 40 are just way, way gone.
No, it's interesting that you say that because we were talking with Eddie Goldman the other day. And, you know, he's had some issues in terms of, you know, getting hydrated and doing things the right way. And he was saying, you know, what I'm learning from the veterans, it's not just the craftiness on the field technique stuff. It's how to take care of your body.
This is our job. You know, it's not like it was back in the 80s and stuff where, you know, guys had off-season jobs. You know, they pay us a handsome wage now, and you are expected to take care. Your body is your job. Your body is, you know, your temple, for lack of a better, you know, analogy. I mean, you get paid to be in shape. If you come to camp out of shape, you're behind the eight ball.
True.
You know, and to be real honest, back in the day, they wouldn't even stand for that. Right. You know. Now, we had guys, I mean, every team's had them. You have guys that come that use training camp for exactly that. My best stories are Brian Waters, runs with the Chief. This dude came to camp. A lot of times,
like a 12-time Pro Bowl.
Yeah, it's like mini camp, right? Yeah. He'd come to mini camp. And he'd always be overweight. They'd be so mad at him. This dude would put 500+ pounds on the bar, on the bench. No warm-up. Just hit it for like 3 or 4 reps. He goes, yeah, I think I'm good. And they couldn't say anything about it. And he was just a monster player. And he'd be like, listen, the off-season. And this was for me. He's like, I got 4 weeks of camp. And then he'd show up with camp. He had his plastics on. The dude, that was his way of being professional. But he had earned that right. You know, he'd earned that right by making multiple Pro Bowls. Willie Rofe was the greatest one. His in-season workout routine, you know, we're there 6 a.m. working out, you know, getting yelled at. Yeah, you know, meat sticking out the way. This dude would come in, throw about 315, maybe 400 or something on bench, hit it a few times, and then he'd lay on the bench and he'd tap his stomach like this. You know, just kind of like, and lift his head. I was like, Willie, what are you doing? Gotta fire the abs, coach. Gotta fire the abs. He would do about 3 sets of that and get up and walk out the room. And here's a guy who's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
It was, and so that's, you know, and then you learn, like, you know, but you learn everybody has a different way of maintaining your body to be at your maximum. And, you know, I learned after my third year in the league, you know, diet is a huge part. I used to have to play at like 280. It was hard for me to be that way. And finally, I dropped down to 255 and had a really great season and was able to take that next step in my career. And so for me, but that's part of your being a professional. You have to figure out what works for you. You have to know where your optimal weight, you know, to get the best out of yourself. And when you show up, you got to do that. You can't spend time trying to learn, because now you're behind the curve. If you got to spend time trying to get in shape, you can't focus on what you need to do. So the young guys need to learn that, I mean, as a whole in this league, and understand that this is your job. And for me, it's more of a respect issue, right? Have respect. When new guys come in this league, have respect for the league that I've been making a living in. You know, there's a lot of guys that are accomplished in this building, on this field, that have done this in this league a long, long time. If you haven't played it down in this league, don't come and not be ready to go, because that's disrespectful to everybody else who's put the time and the effort in. And again, I think if guys will take that approach, this league will continue to grow and continue to succeed. And we do. We have a duty as ambassadors of football to make sure that the guys coming behind us prosper just as much as we did in this league.
You know, your ambassador, and it brings me up to a couple interesting guys. Ego Ferguson, Cornelius Washington,
Will Bass. Sutton, Dave, these guys that are changing, being interior defensive linemen in their whole life on a four-man now, and now they got to extend themselves to go outside a little bit. Can you give them advice? Can you help an Eagle Ferguson understand how to play an offensive tackle more than a center or a guard?
Yeah, absolutely, and it's more so, you know, again, there comes down to that communication level. You know, I try to tell Ego, you know, understand when you can do certain things, right? Understand, and that's more so, and from the interior standpoint. Now, they're going to have to do some more two-gapping stuff, which is, you know, you're 300 pounds. That's what you got to do. but from like a form, we do some four-man rush stuff and that kind of things. It's still a matter of understanding, you know, where the weaknesses are in the protection, right? Where's that one-on-one going to be? Where can you help? And you know, it's that communication. If you want to do something, that's fine. You just got to let me know that what you're going to do so I can back you up on it, you know? And so that's really what it is. But, you know, guys like Corny and stuff like that, I mean, Corny's a big, strong dude. And really, the odd looks do create some matchups where I've seen him be, I mean, he blows by him. And here's a guy who's, I mean, I don't know, he looks huge. I don't know how much. He's probably 280 right now, right? Jacked. Mm-hmm. He's a young guy. I don't know. Goodness. I've got sagging back fat right now. I've got the saggy skin. And so you can take advantage of that. I mean, with that athleticism and that quickness. I mean, look what J.J. Watt does, right? He goes up and down the line, taking advantage of people. So I think, you know, that's where you can help guys. And not so much, you know, technique is very similar all the time, you know, hand placement. And we have good coaches that are going to teach them that. But more so just like I was taught is the nuances of what to look for. If you're in this position, how do you finish this, right? You know, what is the – if you pull on this lever, what's this lever going to do? You know, and that it's really just the anatomy of football, so to speak.
What's the reaction?
That's where I try to create, you know, remind these guys, like, hey – You had them beat, but you pulled them back into you. You know, if you just do this, sometimes less is more, right? You don't need to do something. And, you know, I always try to tell guys, don't give up good position. Good position will lead to a good play. But if you try to take good position, you know, and throw a guy on top of you, you know, now you're giving up good position to try to make a play. Just stay in your gap. You'll make 100 times more plays in your gap than you will out of your gap.
Got to take another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to ask Jared Allen who he thinks is the player of training camp so far. We have to pick one, so we're going to do that next with Jared Allen and Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. It's time to decide on the Player of the Week, brought to you by Sports Authority. Guys, I need you to help me decide, and here are some of the candidates who I think have stood out over the first week here of training camp or with Bears outside linebacker Jared Allen and 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. You know, you could start with Pernell McPhee. Man, he has introduced himself to that Bears defense. You got Matt Slauson, who's back, and he's making an impact now that the pads are on in those drills. Who do you like, Tom?
You know, I don't think you can underestimate the importance of Jay Cutler, because when you look at the quarterback position as a whole, Jay has to not only be a leader of the offense, he has to teach the system to young guys, and he's really important to the success of the offense. So you're lucky to have guys like Matt Forte, Martellus, Alshon, and the rest of the guys. But the quarterback position is the main cog that gets this thing in motion. And when you think of the practice noise and all the distractions going on, I think early in camp, Jay has done a nice job of being really well organized at the line of scrimmage, and hopefully he can build on that.
What do you think?
You know I'm going to have to go as a defensive guy. and you know what? Parnell, he has done a great job. You know what? Actually, he's actually helped me out a lot just, you know, because he's very familiar with his defense. And I always give him a hard time. I said, man, you're 280 pounds coming off. There's not a lot of tackles are going to know what to do with you. So, you know, yeah, he makes some outstanding plays. And you know what the biggest thing is? He's an instinctual football player. He really does understand the concepts of the offense. And that's rare, you know. And so it is fun to watch him. And he's a little bit of a goofball, so.
Is it hard to gain the mentality of being an every down player, because he's been in a system that he's been fortunate to have the attraction of ever other quality defensive ends in Baltimore? Now, Pernell, yourself, you know, you have Sam Ocho and you have David Bass and the guys. You know, a little strength and mentality is always key at this point.
Absolutely. And one thing I got to say, all of us are working really well together.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously we're all competing for playing time and everything that we want to do out there. But, you know, when we get our shots, we just try to make plays. And I think that's one thing that, that P's brought over is that mentality from the Baltimore. They've had a lot of success in defense, right? And it is, it's that all-for-one mentality. And, you know, I can help him for as far as, again, like understanding every down type of play and how a game flows, right? And he brings that knowledge, general knowledge, because he's played a lot of positions because they had Doomerville, they have Suggs. You know, he's played inside, he's played outside. So he really has a good feel for where everybody's supposed to be, and he brings, you know, that to the table. Sam's very intelligent, coming from Arizona, another really good, you know, odd defense. So he understands a lot of things, and I can help Sam with technique stuff, you know, and how to use his smarts and under his reaction and his overall knowledge to react. Right. And then even Lamar, you know, Lamar came from Oakland where he did a lot of inside out stuff. So there's a wealth of knowledge, and there's a lot of different levels of where everybody's been at, and it really works well together. And you know, it's fun. And I think we just have this competitive nature, and there's a totally different attitude and mindset and nature about this camp compared to, you know, last year and everything that's going. And there's this sense of urgency, this sense of everybody wants to be good. We want to win the day. We want to win the drill. You know, we want to dominate from drill to drill to drill and then go watch that on film.
It would be interesting if you gave you and Purnell four rushes and you each got one out of your stance and one standing up. It'd be four different rushes because you guys, there's a lot of differences between you guys. But you're both effective off the edge, and it would be interesting because that one person would see four different rushes.
That is cool. I mean, you can really kind of you can do so many different things, and you show people different angles. And I think that's where my ignorance, because I just didn't know enough about a 3-4. Now being in it, I see that the angles, so to speak, or, you know, the matchups, and you really do create some different looks for the offensive line. And you can take advantage of it.
Aaron Rodgers is going to be doing a lot of thinking week one because he has no idea what you guys are going to try to do. And you guys are going to surprise. You're not going to show it during the preseason. It's going to be fun to see how he reacts to that. The other thing I was going to ask you, you mentioned Purnell McPhee at 280 coming off the edge. Man, you don't want to be that offensive lineman. Tom used to, he still breaks out into sweats every time I mention the name Reggie White. Is there an offensive lineman that makes you break out in a sweat that you know you're going to face this guy? And, man, I just can't get around him.
Today, you know, there's only a handful of top notch guys today. If I have to look back in my, you know, going against Walter Jones sucked. going against Jonathan Ogden wasn't very fun either because they had a run game behind that and a 3-step drop system that they very seldom
Orlando
away from.
Pace was good.
You know what? Me and Orlando matched up well together. I gotta say, I had some of my best games good. Going against Orlando. But again, a massive human being, and if you did not beat or if so this way, if I didn't catch him. It was a long day, you know, and then I had Willie Anderson. You remember big Willie Anderson from Cincinnati? I had to go against that dude. And here's a guy walking out with a plastic face mask still while everybody else has tenure. It's like, oh, my goodness. Now, you know this dude's tough when he's got the old plastic, you know, face mask, little Greg Lloyd face mask. You know, today, you know, no, I don't ever get scared because it's always a challenge. You know, you're like, oh, wow. You know, yeah, there's things, guys you see on tape, you're like, man, I'm going to have a good day. But, you know, like Joe Thomas is at the top of that list. And nothing that he's overpowering or bearing. The dude is just technically sound. And you have to be on your game to succeed against him. He's going to give it to you every single play, every single time. You know, and honestly, Bushrod's a heck of a competitor. I mean, I've gone against him a lot of times. And, you know, I tell you, if it was the old school, the old days where he had to be 330 or something, that would – his hands and feet are really, really good. You know, then you got, I'm trying to think one more real quick. You know, you got Okafor, I mean, not Okafor, but Okung out in Dallas, or out in
Russell,
at Russell in Dallas. And you got the dude from Dallas.
Right.
He's an old school type tackle, big, heavy handed dude. Mm-hmm. And then Okung, he's just so long, and that dude can recover. He reminds me a lot of like an Ogden type, right? Where Ogden was never technically, in my opinion, like just overbearingly powerful on you, but the dude could touch you from here to the
that long reach.
He'd say hike and he'd punch you in the face. And you're just like, hold up, we haven't even started play yet. What's going on here? And then I got to go against Willie Rofe. I'm biased, but I got to go against Willie Rofe every day. And I think Willie Rofe is the best tackle in you know, probably top two in league history. And I mean, again, I took so many beatings from him. That I can't really say that of anybody else.
he's candid. You got to hand it to him. Jared Allen is here. So is Tom Thayer. Got to take another time out. When we come back, one of the things that I want to find out, there's been so much talk about leadership and, you know, who are the leaders of the team. Is that important, or is actually going out there and just performing at a high level more important? We'll discuss next with Jared Allen on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Ready, set, shuffle. Registration now open for the Super Bear Shuffle 5K powered by PowerPlate on Thursday, September 10th at Soldier Field. Learn more at www.chicagobears.com/5K. With 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sabin, joined by Bears outside linebacker. It still sounds weird saying it, doesn't it? I mean, it's just weird. He's a defensive end. I should just call you a pass rusher. That makes it a lot easier, right?
No.
Oh, no, it'll Jared be a pass Allen. Cover, too.
Take away from the fact, I don't see... That's where I have a problem with, you know, just because I have a high number of sacks. I've made a lot of tackles, too. I like to think of myself as a defensive player. I feel like you take half the game away from people when you say, oh, he's a great pass rusher, which, I mean, it is a huge part of my game.
Fact,
yeah. Huge part of my game, but, you know, that's not the way I view myself. I view myself as a defensive player, and one reason I like playing on the front line is because I get first crack at every play. So there's so many different ways to impact a game versus just getting sacks are great. Everybody loves them. And that's how we're judged by. But you know what? There's so many different ways to impact the game that if I ever become that guy, I'm just going to,
See, that's an important attitude to have, I think, though. And I mentioned in our last segment about leadership, and you've heard it. I think every single player that's been at training camp here that was a part of the team last year has been asked about leadership and maybe a lack thereof. How do you define leadership? Do you need it inside the locker room, or do you need guys that just go out and play?
You got to go out and play, first of all. I don't think you can try to be a leader. You know, if you're a guy that's rah-rah and you're barking all the time but you're not worth a darn, I got no use for you. You know, for me, it's a lead by example. I remember, you know, Tony Gonzalez, and I mean, he didn't want to be, like, the leader, the vocal guy. But you know what this guy did every single day? He was out to practice early. That dude caught 100 balls a day. And he always performed. Always showed up. That, to me, is a leader. You know, so, and that's how I viewed, okay, you know what? Yeah, if I need to go have a side conversation with somebody, I'll do it. And to me, a leader is the one that doesn't, you know, there's a time and place to be vocal and jump on people in front of people. But if there's an issue, you go handle it. You know, you give guys the guidance, you teach them things, and most importantly, you perform when it's time to perform. When it's the clutch, are you always doing the right thing? And I've just always been a believer of leading by example. That way, if you ever have to bark, you know, there's something behind it. But you know, I don't know that there's, you can't. They just define themselves over the season. You know, guys seem to take ownership. Their personalities come out. Who are guys drawn to? You know, that's what I look for. Like, especially when we voted captain. Who are the guys drawn to? Who's the guy that I'm going to go to that if I need? So who's the guy that I think, okay, is leading our team? You know, who's the guy that I think is the most accountable and is doing it time in and time out and time in and time out? And that's what a leader is. I mean, we're grown men. We're alpha men. If you aren't self-motivated, you shouldn't be in the NFL. If you need someone to, quote-unquote, lead you, no, we just need a bunch of people doing the right things the right way all the time. And then you need a handful of people that are doing it at a whole nother level and dragging those others up with you, and those end up being your so-called leaders.
A guy like yourself, if you have a conversation with a young guy, it's sometimes about a life issue that they need an eye-opening. But if you look at guys throughout your career, for me, it would be Walter Payton, Mike Singletary. For here, it would be Matt Forte, Entrell Roll, right? You don't have to ask leaders to be in shape. Because they're in shape. You don't have to encourage them to be on time. And those are the guys that aren't necessarily going to have a voice in that, you know, supposed leadership role. They're doing it because they're here every day. And that's the great thing about all the guys that you mentioned in your past that are the great guys.
Absolutely. That's what I say. I think, you know, the old saying, leaders are born, right? And you are. You just know it. You know when guys are doing it the right way. You know it. Are you dependable? To me, a leader is dependable. I think people should ask, who are the dependable guys on the team? That's who's going to get you through.
And hopefully you have a lot more of those, because unfortunately last year that wasn't the case. So hopefully this year you'll have a lot more of those in the locker room and on the field, which is more important. We've got to take another time out. I believe last year at this time, you were getting set to watch your wife give birth to.
Yeah, my daughter's birthday is on Tuesday. 1 year old. One year old. Sorry.
How about
There's
that?
No years.
So when we come back, I'm going to find out what's Jared Allen the dad like. We'll discuss next here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Back inside our trailer here in Bourbon A with Bears outside linebacker Jared Allen, 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on here. Our final few moments with the dad, Jared Allen. And, yeah, last year as we were getting set to do the show, you were on standby. Any moment could have been the moment. And your daughter is going to be a year old when?
Tuesday.
Wow.
Yeah, it's exciting.
It's an off day, right? So you got a chance to...
It came out perfect that way because my wife was like, what's the deal? Are you going to be home for her birthday? And I'm like, well, let's see if it's an issue first. And sure enough, it was an off day. Oh, thank the good Lord. And yeah, you know what? Both my girls, my oldest, they're getting big. You know, the time flies. We just have fun. It's, you know, I got two girls and a girl dog, and I got a house full of women. So, you know, it's awesome. And this offseason, that's all we've just been having fun with it. And,
do you go out to the playground with them?
Absolutely. We're a hands-on family.
And people, like, kind of stare at you? Because you live in Arizona during the offseason.
Yeah,
right?
No, you know what? People in Arizona are pretty cool about it. And when I'm with fam, I try to be focused 100% on them. And, you know, people are usually polite. And, you know, we have fun. We go to the park. We go to the zoo. We do it all. We got this out in... Up in northern, a little north of us, about an hour and a half north of us, they got this like wildlife African safari right area. So we took her out to go see all the lions and all that good stuff. And you know, we've been up to the UP, the Upper Peninsula, and Tahoe, and all the good stuff. So yeah, they're big time hunters, right? I do. You know, I haven't been hunting. Now that they're getting older, I can start hunting again. It's been a couple of years since I've been out hunting. You know, it's a little hard. It's a little hard to go hunting for three or four days and leave the missus with a 3.5-year-old and a baby.
Man, you know, last year you have a new baby born. You get ill early point in the season. It had to be just a tough the sickness had to be a tough obstacle to overcome because you still have to be a huge supporter of your family and everything during the regular season. So it had to be difficult at times.
Yeah, very much. You know, my wife is awesome. She quarantined me to the basement. She's like, don't you get us sick, right? You know? And you know what? It is. You know, I tell people, you know, this game is great, but it's not life. There's more important things in life than football. And my relationship with God is first, my wife and my kids, you know, come right after that. And, you know, that's always my priority. I used to laugh. I said, as the further down football went on my priority list, the better I became at it. You know, your life becomes balanced and you understand it's, you know, it's not live or die. You can focus on that when you get home, you know, when you're at work, but when you're at home, you know, I'm just, my kids don't know any better. You know, I'm just dad. Why isn't dad here? You know, and now she's another old thing, talk to him on FaceTime and stuff like that. You know, we all got the same. I still got to discipline your kids. You still got to raise them right. I have a responsibility as a father to make sure my kids are a good part of society. You know, you're not wasting people's time.
And it's still, I just want to hit on this before we go, because it's such an important thing that you do in the community with the Wounded Warriors. So in our final few moments here, what's the latest on that?
Well, actually, our newest recipients are a Chicago kid here in Chicago. So we'll be building a house in the Chicago area. So just getting started on that. We have our gala coming up October 30th. You can go to, you know, homesforwoundedwarriors.com and get all the information on that. And yeah, just going. It's actually going really, really, really well. We got a bunch of new corporate sponsors, and that's what we do. So for people that don't know, we build and remodel homes to make them handicap accessible for our wounded vets coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan.
Now, all your greatness and all your future success in football, what you do there is more important than any time you get a sack or make a play. 100%. It's just unbelievable that you do that, and you should be commended. I think it's awesome.
You know, I don't believe it's about me. I've been blessed with this platform, and I come from a military family, and you know, I just, for me, it's how can I serve those, you know, how can I serve my country? And the best way I came could do it was to serve those who've served us. And unfortunately, there's some gaps in the housing when our men and women come home and that are amputees or you know, have extreme TBI and or paralyzed, blind, a whole bunch of different issues. And, you know, I feel like it's kind of my patriotic duty, my obligation as an American. I enjoy so many of our American dreams or freedoms, and I enjoy the American dream. And if our men and women fighting for those rights, you know, can't enjoy it, then, well, you know, I feel like no one deserves it more than them. So, you know, I really don't, you know, I don't care to be commended for it. I just want to continue to try to bless other people's lives because I've been blessed by this country. And really, that's kind of, And it keeps you humble, man. You hear people's stories, and you realize, man, there's some tough SOBs out there. Yeah. What I do is nothing in comparison to what these people are doing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. What's the website again, real quick?
Homesforwinterwarriors.com.
Jared, thank you so much. Good luck this season at outside linebacker.
Thank you so much.
For Tom Thayer and Jared Allen, I'm Zach Zabin saying so long. Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.